Dr. Westbrook.
Dr. Baffa, it's a pleasure once again.
Welcome all our listeners at home across the world to the Two Doctors podcast, talking about weightlifting, and probably a little more weightlifting if there is time. It is an all weightlifting show with the occasional cultural reference thrown in for good measure.
Absolutely. And we have, we tried to keep our agenda to a minimum to keep this a little shorter, since we're going to be in front of microphones for pretty much 2 days straight coming up very shortly.
We have signed. We didn't even know these contracts were legal. It is indentured servitude to Hook Grip for 2 days straight of announcing webcasting at the Hook Grip Spartakiad in Philadelphia, which is going to be a bit wet this weekend.
Yes, it
but
will.
The lifting goes on.
Yes, it does. And it should be some pretty competitive weightlifting, of course, with the highlighted sessions of the men's being Saturday night and the women's being Sunday night. So definitely tune into that. And like we mentioned, there will be a webcast, and we'll be sure to give out the link so all our listeners can follow along and watch and listen to
exactly.
Some great weightlifting.
But for now, the agenda, we're sticking to a schedule. We've been a little delinquent on our schedule front in the past.
Indeed.
But right now, topic of the evening, the 2015 USA World Team. Dr. Westbrook, what are your thoughts? Do you have the world team in front of you?
I don't, but I've looked at it a few times. So
Let me read off the current world team. Assuming I have it in front of me. Here it is. It is. All right. So on the women's side, Morgan King in the 48s, Kathleen Winters in the 48s, mm-hmm. Jessica Lucero in the 58s, Jenny Arthur in the 75s, Maddie Rogers also the 75s, mm-hmm. Marissa Klingseis and Holly Mangold both in the 75 plus categories. So let's just, we'll start with the women, how about? And I'll say the reserves are Allie Henry in the 69s mm-hmm. and Geralee Vega in the 63s.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that team?
Well, yeah, I mean, the first thought, which absolutely needs to be mentioned, is the performance by Maddie Rogers at the University Nationals just last weekend.
Can you believe that? I mean, for those of you who don't know, 102 snatch, right?
102 snatch, 124 clean and jerk. Eight American records were broken for her during her six attempts. It's an amazing, amazing performance for her. And, I mean, a 226 total for a junior lifter in the 69-kilo weight class.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's quite a contender. And I don't know if you saw the 124 clean and jerk, but in my opinion, she's got a lot more in the tank, too.
I did. I've watched those lifts a number of times.
Yeah.
And aside from being depressing compared to my own current lifts, it is tremendously inspiring. I mean, not that long ago, she lifted in the Nationals a few weeks ago mm-hmm. and already improved on what she did there.
Yeah, I mean, to come through two national meets like that, literally within weeks of each other, and be able to lift at 100% or above 100% is amazing. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, she has really proven herself to be an extraordinary athlete. I mean, 102. I think we need to step back a minute and consider the fact that the number of American women in the 69-kilo or lighter weight class, or heavier weight class, snatching 100
plus. I don't think Holly Mangold has done 102.
She hasn't done too much more than that recently.
Much more.
She might have done 103 or 104 recently.
Right, but she's three times the size.
Quite literally, yes. So you're talking about a very big difference. The only other American woman who is significantly above that in the snatch right now, really, is Sarah Robles, who did lift at the universities, but is not on the team.
And she did quite well also at the universities. And her she clean and jerked 158, was it?
I don't know if the results are up yet.
Okay.
So
somewhere around there, in the 50s for sure, and I don't know what she snatched, but I mean, that, again, if she were to be able to be on the world team, that would have jumped her into one or two easily.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, she's not going to be on the world team, and we'll get back to the world team, but I will say that she did get an invite to the President's Cup in Russia.
Oh, fantastic. I did not know that.
Yeah,
that's great.
Which is important. Those of you listening, you need two international events before Rio to be eligible for Rio. So that will be an international event for her.
That's fantastic. And that's and again, that's like the sort of the heavier weight classes in comparison to the Chinese or the China Grand Prix, which just happened a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago, really.
Exactly. I think it's... what is it, 75, 75 plus, or maybe it's 69s as well? I actually don't recall right now.
Yeah, I'm not
and
sure.
And the men's 94s and above, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
So yeah, Matty Rogers was really the amazing performance. Jessica Lucero, also somewhat impressive with, again, adding onto her total, adding to that snatch, that a 91-kilo snatch, which I believe matches the American record.
Yeah, it does. That's right. So, yeah, I mean, she's both those. And again, I mean, we sort of hit on this before, but, you know, we've kind of seen her as a middle of the pack A session lifter. And she's really excelled herself into this, you know, top of her class. I'm going to make the world team. So, and if she continues to improve, I mean, she should be a solid American lifter, you know, vying hopefully for one of those Olympic spots in 2016.
Yeah, well, first we got to get them. Got to get them at the world.
That's,
I think
they
have a strong team, it looks like. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some discussion as to having or not having Robles on the team. And basically, assuming, and this might be a mistake, but assuming no disasters, the women are well positioned to get, I believe, three Olympic spots.
That would be wonderful.
It'd be nice, yeah. And I don't think that adding Robles would necessarily bump that number up even more.
Yeah, but you have to assume that her finishing place in a world event like the 2015 Worlds would be at least in a top 10 position. You know, so you have to assume that would add some significant points, don't you think?
It would add points, but I don't know that it actually bumps us up into the tier where we get another spot. It might, but one of the analyses I was seeing basically suggested that, assuming everybody does well, we're okay with what we have for three spots. To get that fourth woman, you need a big jump.
I see, yeah.
Now, on the men, Alex Lee in the 69s, Derek Johnson in the 62s, Leo Hernandez and Travis Cooper in the 77s, Jared Fleming and Kendrick Farris in the 94s, Donovan Ford as a 105, and then Kane Wilkes as a 105+. And then Spencer Mormon and CJ Cummings are the reserves.
Right. Now, you have to give some props to Alex Lee. Coming through in the clutch and hitting a new 69-kilogram American total record to make the team. I mean, that's the kind of lifting that we like to see because he's hitting it, you know, not in training videos, not in local meets, but when it really matters.
Yeah. Now, you got to give it to Lee, but in the same vein, you got to wonder what was going on in the coaching of CJ Cummings when they took that 176 in China, which was more than he needed. And I don't know what went into that decision, but...
Not only was it more than he needed, it was not even just 1 kilo, but 2 kilos, right?
2 kilos
over
more than
the
he
world
needed,
record, right?
And 2 kilos, 2 or 3 over the world record. And a few kilos more than he needed to put himself on the team, unless they were trying to give themselves some cushion.
Maybe they were thinking about that too.
But I don't think that would have worked because I think for him to have that sort of cushion, he would have had to do significantly more.
Right.
To bump him into the next spot. So I don't know why they did that 176.
Yeah, it's too bad, too, because if he were at this event, that he would automatically have those two international events, so he would be eligible to be an Olympian, you know, provided that we've got the spots and he qualified. But now...
He might already have two. I mean, he should have two.
Oh, he's done junior worlds. So, yeah, what am I talking about? Of course, yeah, he's done youth worlds.
I don't think CJ is going to have any trouble getting a number of international events under his belt.
Right.
Interesting aside, I saw somewhere recently somebody asked Alexei Turokhti, the Ukrainian gold medalist from the 2012 games in the 105s, whose, or no, in the 105s, I believe, whose technique he really liked or thought was the best in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he said CJ Cummings.
Really? Now, who did this interview? This is interesting.
This is mostly rumor. I don't actually recall who did this interview. I forget if it was on Reddit or Facebook or Twitter. It was somewhere of dubious authenticity. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. But we ply in rumor out here. So
that's interesting. It's interesting about that lifter, too, because, you know, I hate to say someone won an Olympic gold as a fluke, but he sort of did. I mean, the two Russian 105s, namely Dmitry Klokov and Akayev, both pulled out late as a result of back, quote-unquote, back injuries or some injuries of some kind.
Terrible when those things flare up.
So, right. So, you know, he showed up. He lifted what he needed to lift, and he got the gold. I mean, there's no one who can take that away from him. But if you look at the results from, you know, previous Worlds or even the previous Olympics, it's quite a different picture in terms of total.
Yeah. Not only did you have them pulling out, but also, and it's questionable how strong of a contender he would have been, but I think he would have been very strong, is Marcin Dołęga of Poland bombed out in the snatch that year, 2012. And when I saw that the two Russians had pulled out, I thought Dołęga was going to be a shoo-in for that title. And as you say, I mean, it was Turukti's day. He came in, he lifted very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, interestingly, Turukti, his results in Ukraine are at that, like, Klokov, Akayev level, certainly in the snatch. Outside Ukraine, his numbers are a little down.
A little down, yeah.
Little. Maybe he's got some back issues himself.
That's
outside
right.
of Ukraine. So, yeah, I mean, he, as you said, nobody can take that gold away from him. I mean, actually, they can in theory because they've done it. WADA has taken golds away from others in the past.
Yeah, many actually, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, he showed up that day. He was the best athlete, and he truly is a great athlete.
He is, absolutely. There's nothing to take away.
I mean, there's a guy who snatched, you know, 200 kilos, and forget his best clean and jerk, but well above 215 or in the 220s, I want to say.
Right. So
yeah, really like CJ Cummings, apparently.
Well,
really,
that's good. I mean, there's not much not to like about CJ Cummings.
Exactly.
So, speaking of CJ Cummings, we supposedly will see him this weekend at the Hookrip Spartakiad.
He will be at the Spartakiad. That, at least he's on the start list. So assuming Hurricane Joaquin does not prevent anyone, because he's coming up from the south. So I wonder.
Right. That could be trouble. Yeah, that could be trouble.
God.
Well, it hopefully won't be as bad getting there as it is getting back home. So maybe we can just hang out with CJ Cummings and figure out what the heck he's doing different than everybody else.
teach us some secrets. Secret number one is probably be 15.
Yeah,
he's going to look at it and be like, what are you still doing lifting?
Yeah. He's less than half of our age, so that's a bit embarrassing.
I will never forgive the weather if they prevent CJ Cummings from getting to this
competition. Oh, I know. But
now, again, one of the things that I want to say, though, about CJ being on the reserves as opposed, and Alex is a tremendous lifter, but there's part of me that thinks, man, CJ, every few weeks, improves.
Yes,
and
he does.
I almost think between now and Houston, a guy could be doing 140, 180, which, if you look at his improvement, is not out of the realm of possibility.
No, it isn't. It absolutely is not.
So,
well, another thing I wanted to bring up about the University Nationals. Now, I was very impressed with Matty Rogers, but something that I was really almost disturbed by was the performance in the 105 class. Now, were you able to watch that live or see any of the results for that, Dr. Baffa?
It was a bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath indeed.
Oh, my God. I mean, we can go through the list of individuals who bombed out in this match. And really, one of the more heartbreaking ones for me, David Garcia, bombs in the snatch.
Another bomb. I mean, boy.
He's
Are we
such
jinxing him? I mean, is that the problem?
Ooh, I hope not. I really hope not. Because, man, his training videos, he looks great.
Sharp,
he did great in that local meet, kind of, I guess, tuning up for this. And bombed in the snatch. Colin Burns also bombed in the snatch.
Yeah, and especially after showing, you know, having some videos of some really nice training performances, 171 snatch and a 200 kilogram clean and jerk, excuse me. So I was expecting big things, especially, you know, because he's got a few extra, you know, pounds or kilos on him. So, you know, maybe feel a little bit more refreshed. And who knows? I mean, sometimes, I mean, you know what it feels like when you have extra body weight. Things tend to move a little easier.
Yeah, certainly. Got that power belly.
That's exactly right. So, and we just didn't see that. And
didn't see that. Norik Vardanyan pulled out.
Yeah.
Justin Meyer bombed. I mean, he's not in the – I don't believe he's the 105. I mean, he was heavier, but Andrew Davis didn't quite perform as well as he has in the past. Ian Wilson, great to see him back on the competition platform after being out for so long with his shoulder injury. But, you know, understandably not at the level that we have seen him at in the past. But great to see him back.
It was. And you know, I could see the frustration in him because, you know, he doesn't want to just come back. He wants to come back and be right where he was when he left. But, you know, you do have to be understanding that your body does need a little bit of time to recover and, you know, to build back the strength and even the positions. So, you know, the fact that he, I think he finished with like a 150 something snatch.
Wilson went 152, 185.
Yeah, exactly. Which again, I mean, those for a comeback meet after a really pretty significant injury, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, I was surprised when I saw the lifts as his opening attempts, what they were. I thought he would kind of take it a little easier and kind of work into things, but you could tell he's a guy who wants it. And back, I can't remember, I think this was the Junior Nationals, we had spoken to him for a brief time, and he had mentioned in training he lifts significantly less than he does for his competitions. When I say significantly, I'm talking 10, 15, even 20 kilos less. Yeah. And he'll, for instance, he'll snatch maybe 150 in training, then open with 160 and finish with like 165 to 170. So
I really don't know how he does. I don't know how he his mindset allows him to do that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Right. And the fact that he's done that is great, but it's also somewhat possibly a little unrealistic, especially with a recovering body that maybe not quite as fresh as it was a couple years ago. So, you know, maybe he was hitting those 140s or even 150s in training and sort of thought that those 160s, 165s would come, but just wasn't quite there.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw very few training videos him leading in. I saw some power snatches at about 130.
Yeah.
And I saw, I think, some squats, but that was it. There wasn't really a lot else in comparison to some other lifters who post much more regularly,
right,
training lifts. So, but it's good to see him back. I'm glad that he's lifting. I consider him to be among our most talented athletes.
Absolutely. His bottom position is something to desire.
Yeah, and he tremendously strong too. And like you said, I mean, he really, despite training lower than competition sometimes, brings what he needs into the competition. He can be, I mean, he's had a couple unfortunate bomb outs, but he can be a really great competitive lifter when the time matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the hope is, you know, just with a little more time, a little more refinement, that he's going to bounce back every meet, maybe add 5 or 10 kilos over the next, you know, 6 months or so and be right back where he was before, you know, pre-injury.
Yeah. So anyone you are particularly excited for at these world championships from our squad, either men or women, now that we know the team?
Yeah, well, especially with Alex Lee making the team, I think he's got fantastic technique. And he went for a 180 clean and jerk, and the 180 clean was phenomenal.
Really? I actually did not see it.
You should take a look. I mean, if you've seen the 175, it's almost identical to it. I mean, it's just really solid, very upright, solid catch, and he just sort of closely missed the jerk. So if he can pull off something around that 180 mark as a 69, I mean, that's a huge lift, right? And again, his snatch is sort of lagging because, you know, even if he gets a 35 or a 36 or somewhere around there, which would be, you know, which would be a great, great lift. And not that he's not capable of it, but would be a really impressive lift for him. It's still lagging pretty far behind at the world stage.
Be nice to see that snatch record fall, to be honest.
It's due. I mean, it's a matter of weeks or months at most. Yeah. So
yeah, I think we're going to see either Lee or CJ or both take cracks at that record, and I'm looking forward to that. I mean, that'll be nice to get a 69 in the in shooting distance of a 140 snatch, which is now, you know, nearly a
that's sometimes
A session
B,
lifting for the 69s.
Yeah, it's sometimes even B session, I think.
At the 140.
Yeah.
140, yeah, that sort of depends, I guess, on the clean and jerk.
Now, tell me this. If you were a betting man, would you bet what comes first? CJ Cummings breaking the snatch record or moving up to 77s? What's going to happen first?
I think he's going to break the snatch record first.
Okay. All right. You heard it here.
I think he's going to break the snatch record first. I think... You know, I don't know how – I don't know what his training weight is. I don't know how heavy he goes into competitions. I mean, if we take a look at his performance at Nationals, he weighed 68.87. Mm. So that's close. That's close to 69.
Oh, yeah.
But that could be what he walks around at.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you have to look also at his brother Omar, who has competed as a 77, you know, probably at least a year or two ago. And
oh, yeah, he lifted this past summer at the
Oh, he did,
Youth
as a 77?
World, I believe. Yeah.
So, and again, he's only 15. So, you know, you just have no idea what kind of a body frame he's going to grow into. It's just, it's totally uncertain now. But I agree with you. I think he is going to hit that snatch record prior to
moving
up.
He's so close, and he does just keep getting better. I mean, we've really focused on his clean and jerk performance, I think, sometimes. Rightfully so, because he keeps breaking records. But his snatch performance, I mean, I wonder as a percentage, it might be even more impressive than how quickly his clean and jerk has progressed.
Yeah, you could be right, because his technique has the refinement in technique, I think, you know, has a significant more play in the snatch in terms of how much, you know, progress you can make. So, and I think CJ is the perfect example of that over the last 6 months.
So here's a question for you, Dr. Westbrook. Turukti, like C.J. Cummings' technique, considers that the best American. And who knows? Maybe he only knows C.J. Cummings. Maybe he hasn't seen you and I lift. Maybe we would have been in the running there.
I doubt that.
Best American technique. What do you think?
Ooh, best American. Snatch, clean and jerk, or both?
I'll let you take one and one if it's not the same individual.
Okay. You know, I have to say at the moment, in terms of, again, this is in terms of active lifters right now. So we're not talking about the history of American weightlifting. We're talking about right now active.
So we're out of the running. Fair enough.
Exactly. I would have to go in the clean and jerk with Alex Lee. I think I would. Yeah. I mean, I think his technique is really, really great. And in the snatch, For the best American technique, I have to, even though, you know, he hasn't broken this record that he's attempted a number of times, I would have to go with Norik Vardanian for the snatch. It's just when he makes them, they're very smooth. It's hard to say. I'm going to kind of put a little asterisk next to that one because I want another minute to think about this more while you respond to that same question.
Difficult. I would say in the clean and jerk, I would probably agree with you on Alex Lee. It's difficult. Leo Hernandez. He might be in there. But it'd really be between Alex Lee and Leo. And strictly from a technical standpoint in terms
of
what I think. Like what I would say, if you want to watch a lifter and learn what is ideal, let's say, in the range of really solid technique, I would say one of those two probably. For the snatch, when he's on, I really like Colin Byrne's snatch technique.
Yeah.
I think it's very classic. I think it's a nice straight pull. He's got a nice long pull. again, I think, I mean, there are maybe snatchers who are better, like Kane Wilkes. I mean, he's got a tremendous snatch. He's one of a few men in this country to snatch over 400 pounds.
A few men ever, too. I mean, there's not been a lot of Americans in history
small club,
to do
exactly,
that.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, for in terms of like a really nice technical snatch, Colin Burns, I think, is up there. That's, again, if I were to point somebody and say, look, this is, we don't know where you are yet. Let's start with this as default good technique. Colin Burns would be up there for me, to be honest. As would Jerry Vega 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
Maybe 3 years ago.
When you brought up Leo Hernandez, and I do have to agree with you there, his technique is really wonderful, and he's got a great overhead position. Again, that asterisk, I might take that asterisk off and just totally switch my answer to Leo Hernandez.
Wow. Okay.
If I can do that.
I'll allow it, Dr. Westbrook. I'll allow it.
Now, when you look more at the world in terms of weightlifting, who are a couple of lifters that you look to for sort of ideal technique, or that technique that may not necessarily need to be ideal, but that you look to as someone to as a really nice example?
Tatiana Kasherina.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Tatiana Kasherina, beautiful technique, does a lot of things. Obviously, does a lot of things right.
Oh yeah,
she's a current world record holder in the snatch, clean and jerk, and total. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would say. On the men's side, it's a good question. To be honest, a lot of the men who are great lifters right now, who I really like, I would not point to necessarily. Like,
really?
I think Ilan, objectively, Ilan is among the best lifters currently walking around.
And really one of the best competitors, too.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's really what distinguishes him, regardless of technique. I mean, he's a competitor.
Yeah. But he has... It's not bad technique by any stretch.
Right, of course.
But it's, you know, I wouldn't say watch him in the same way that I wouldn't have said, look, watch Piros Dimas, for example.
Right, right.
And I mean, if anything, Ilan's technique is far more in line with textbook than Dimas.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Abdi Alkurov or Artem Okulov, to be honest, and Adam Malagov. Basically, anyone out of Russia right now. The Chinese style of lifting, I'm not as enamored with at this point. Their technique works for them. They obviously make it work for them. But again, as like a starting point in terms of here's where we start, and then we figure out what we need to do with your abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably say first Apti.
Yeah, I agree. And it's in sort of quoting your recent post about the banana pole. I'm noticing that actually a lot more. Well, maybe not a lot more, but I'm just noticing it a lot with these lighter Chinese lifters that extend in such a way where their torso is aiming to be almost parallel with the ground.
They're very, very far behind the bar. And it obviously can work, and there are a number of great lifters. I mean, one of our favorite lifters.
Sajir, of course.
Sajir. Man, Tanir, if you are listening, I hope you know English, because you were like...
The inspiration.
quite literally the inspiration when I was getting back into the sport after having left for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you look at that and you think, nobody would teach that.
Right.
That
right.
Really, nobody of any merit at least, but it worked for him. Even somebody like Naeem Suleimanoglu, who Bruce Clemens in his series of posts basically said it was, you know, his clean and jerk 190 at 60 kilos, I think, is like easily the best of all time.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
You got quite far behind the bar. But you wouldn't teach that, I don't think. Like you said, that banana style.
Right, right. And it's interesting because it does seem, you know, when you see it executed at this level, you know, sort of elite level of weightlifting, it does have sort of a special look to it, because when you actually look at basically where their shoulders end and then where they come back to catch the bar, I mean, the speed in which that's required to get from that position to the catch position is incredible. And that's why you can't even see what that happen in Sajir's 172.5 snatch. But I think it's a less consistent style of lifting, and I think Sagir is also a good example of that. Yes, he had a great Olympics, but then he bombed and bombed out of a number of meets after that.
And he up until about 2004, he obviously won gold.
Right.
The years leading up to that, he had a series of great meets, junior world records. He was unbeatable in a number of respects for a period and continued to win after Athens. But Athens really was where it all came together. And then if you watch, I was actually just rewatching, I think it was the 2006 Worlds, and it was not as effective for him, that technique. And I don't know if it was he was weaker. I know that he had some hip issues, I think, but
yeah.
It was not as effective.
And that doesn't surprise me. And another lifter to contrast Sagir's sort of banana approach to the pole, and I can't remember her last name, but Nadezhda, the 75-kilogram Russian.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
There was a video that I was watching today, and when you talk about the sort of angle in your back staying the same as you lift the bar up through the first pole, I mean, she does this in such a way that I don't think anyone can even rival.
It's amazing, yeah. And she's really, really consistent with
that. It's amazing, yeah. And then, of course, her pull is perfectly straight. You know, there's none of that sort of bending the torso backwards to try to, you know, get some more energy in a weird direction. But it's beautiful to watch. And that's another person I was going to say is a great example to point people to.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch her just do pulls, she finishes really vertically, perfectly vertical. And that is, I think, an athlete who you want to watch do pulls. And more importantly, I think there's a misconception, especially among newer lifters, because it's easy when you lean back and slam the hips to generate power. That gives you a sense of power. But when you watch her do pulls perfectly vertically, she's generating tremendous amounts of power by going straight up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's a little more difficult than just slamming the hips into the bar and leaning back, but the payoff is much greater, as you can see with her.
Right. Discipline.
Now, slightly different question for you.
Sure.
If, you know, technique aside, if you could lift like any lifter and you would make the weights,
oh boy,
who would it be?
You know,
and I'll give you a different one for snatch and clean and jerk.
Boy. Yes, it is different. So, in the snatch, it would be, and this is a name we've already mentioned, it would be Abdi Akhudov.
Okay.
And one of the reasons is that when he makes a lift, it looks effortless.
Yes.
It looks like he was born to make sure that that weight went from the ground to over his head in a very fluid motion. And if he didn't do it, then the world would just stop turning.
This is true.
And that's the kind of feeling that I want when I snatch, which I've never had. But if I could choose, you know, possibly post-death, if I can choose to go back and return.
Just as a weightlifter
and just doing the snatch, it would definitely be Abdi.
Now, fair enough.
Yeah. Now, the clean and jerk is a little bit of a different story. I mean, one of the first names that comes to mind is Oleg Perepechnikov.
Perepechnikov.
And just because of the ease at which, and it's sort of this in a similar way, it's just, it's so fluid, it's so burnt into his neuromuscular system, it was like his body was made and fabricated to do just that.
Yeah.
And of course he holds one of the oldest world records still at 210 kilos.
He's probably tired of holding that record at this point. That thing has got to go.
Yeah, he looks, and especially, you know, when I say clean and jerk, I'm especially talking about that clean, because it is just beautiful.
Yeah. So
those are two sort of quick responses without much preparation there.
That was the point.
Yeah. And how about you, Dr. Buff? If you could return as one of these elite lifters in both the snatch and the clean and jerk, what would you want to be?
I would say, for the snatch, Tanir Sagir.
Really? Even with the banana pole?
Even, well, here's the thing. My stipulations were you would make the weights.
You would make the weights. That's right.
So, exactly. So I would want, I mean, I'm thinking of that 2004 performance.
Yeah.
And the way, the intensity he brought to those lifts and his 172.5 especially.
Yeah.
It to me is among the greatest lifts I've ever watched. Well, I would give a lot to have been present for that snatch.
Absolutely, I would have given my left arm just to be one of his shoes.
Especially because he had one of the last great pairs of Adidas.
Yes, yeah, that also.
Tanir, if you are listening and have those, we're probably about the same size.
But you know, looking back at that performance too, before he even walks up those four steps to get onto the stage, he is more confident than any other lifter I've ever seen. I mean, there's no doubt that that weight is going to be made there.
It's like he talked to the barbell before, and the bar was like, don't worry.
Yeah, they made an arrangement.
I'll go over your head. I really, right. I don't think I've – yeah, that confidence was amazing. He, you can almost watch, and I've watched this probably more than I should admit. he's standing by the bar. I mean, he's looking at it, and you get a sense that he's trying to suppress a smile. In the way that, like, he knows.
It's like a giddy boy on
Christmas
morning.
He's like, oh, my
morning.
God, I'm about to win a gold medal.
Right. He's about to open that package that he's been dreaming of the last,
at
few 19 months.
19 years old. Yeah. So I would choose his snatch at specifically that year and that meet. And if anything, I would choose that attempt. So if we're going to get specific, it'd be attempt 3, 10 years of year, 2004, Athens.
Now that's specific coming from Dr. Boff. I like it. Now moving on to the clean and jerk. What do you think?
Clean and jerk is tough. I think I would go for, my initial reaction is, as you say, Oleg Perepechnov.
Yeah.
On reflection, I think I would go for the man who was formerly known as Petar Tanev and who now goes by Badr Selemnaev for Qatar, although whether he actually lives anymore is unclear. Probably not. He's in his 40s. But yeah, he lifted for Bulgaria. Badr Selemnaev, better known as Petar Tanev when he was lifting for Bulgaria, his intensity in the clean and jerk was extraordinary and had a really great clean, just aggressive all the way through and had a beautiful jerk. So I would want that, I think.
Yeah, that's a great response. And the way he would stick those jerks, because he'd have that pretty wide split, but just
he
solidly
did,
explode
yeah.
into it.
Yeah, yeah. There's that training video out of Bulgaria, Randy Strawson's Ironman video.
Oh, I've seen that more times than I should admit.
Oh, my God. I have that as well. I have the DVD.
You have the full version.
Oh, I have the full version. I have a few of those Iron Mind DVD. I have that, and then I have – there's one that was called, Secret Training or something, which – I mean, I don't know. In my view, if you can order something off the internet, openly, it secret seems a bit of a misnomer.
Well, these were the days when it was fairly difficult to get our hands on weightlifting material, specifically videos and training videos.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. And I ordered that, which is why I ordered that. And the secret one was, I think, the training prior to what was it, 88? Seoul, right? I think this was the Bulgarian team training part of Seoul. And it's like, first of all, part of the most memorable scene in this training footage is Antonio Krastev getting a sponge bath. And it looks like people washing a ship. It's like two guys, a lot of sponge, two guys, one Krastev. It's a really
that
you see this and you can't forget it.
Yeah, that sounds more of a nightmare than a secret dream.
A lot of man getting sponged down. But the difficult thing about this tape, and there are some, this is the 80s, remember, mm-hmm. when you were less likely, we'll say, to have to pull out because of a back injury. And so the lifts were in the stratosphere.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Like, Krastev is taking like 220 plus in the snatch. I mean, really.
Right.
Crazy stuff.
And that's when you have 75 lifters, you know, consistently clean and jerking like 215 or more.
Oh, yeah. It's insane.
It's crazy. I think there was somebody posted a video of, I think it was somebody who was a 75 that did like 222 or something like that. It's like, that's not even fair. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Who was that? Was that, it wasn't Gunchev. He was,
no.
He was the heaviest guy to do triple body weight out of that era. But it was, yeah. Oh, man. I'm blanking on his name. I think it was Rothwell.
Yeah,
Bruce Clemens was going through the best clean and jerkers of all time, and this guy was knocked out somewhat early, but he was up there, and he was out of that Bulgarian team. I'm trying to see if I can pull it up right now. And somebody, was it Varbanov?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yes, that sounds
right. I think it was Varbanov, and yeah, he has this, it looks like his one elbow is going to go. and you're just wondering, like, what? The only thing keeping that guy together under that is probably fear of what Abajayev will do to him if he misses.
Or what he'll do to his first child.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody in the corner with a gun to somebody's head is off, just off the frame of those videos, I have to imagine.
Yeah.
Some Bulgarian mobster.
Right.
But yeah, I think it was Alexander Varbanov who in the 75 class had a world record. I mean, consider this. Right now, the 77 world record is 210. It's stood for longer than like CJ Cummings has been alive, I think, or nearly as long. Varbanov in the 75 kilo class had 211.5.
Wow.
Yeah, those were good days.
Absolutely.
He's a strong,
you know, another lifter, and not that I'm going to change my my vote here for what I would come back as in a dream world or in another dimension. But, you know, I have to go back to sort of my roots of weightlifting, which was started with Piros Dimas. And he would be a fun guy to come back as a clean and jerker.
Yeah. Dimas or his teammate.
Kakishvili.
Yeah.
Arguably, really one of the best technicians of all time.
Yeah. In fact, I was showing video at a CrossFit recently, just as an example of somebody who with a pretty static start. I mean, he started very low and then kind of roll back and initiate. He didn't do like a big hip pump or anything.
Yeah, but I think. You take some of his notes because he approaches that bar and he sits there for as long as possible.
Oh my God! It's literally running the clock down to single digits.
It makes my nerves just, you know, basically stand straight up.
I can't imagine what was a coach Yakovu. I can't imagine what that guy was thinking. Yeah. Sent him to an early grave because of stress of waiting and watching for Kakishvili to take a lift. I mean, the nice thing is once he makes a lift, you know, you're pretty much in the clear.
Right. Oh yeah. Okay. As long as his hands are on it, it's going to be fine.
He was a great lifter, yeah. So he and Dimas would be fun to be. It'd be fun to be. I mean, we're seeing some great lifters now, and we're actually very lucky to be in an era of amazing U.S. lifting. But there are lots of these lifters who I think, you know, what a great lifter to have seen live, or that would have been a really cool era to see some of these things.
Right. And really, you know, when you even look now, I would say at some of the, you know, maybe not the most elite of the lifters, but like, you know, the lower on the A sessions or even B session lifters. I mean, that technique really is getting seemingly more and more consistent throughout.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, you know, sometimes, you know, years ago, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you'd get some guys in some B sessions that were doing some crazy things but still moving a lot of weight, which was sort of scary. But there definitely has been and maybe, media and, just the general gathering of technical information involving weightlifting has helped that. But I've seen a significant improvement.
I think you're right. I think at this point you have to have, at the very least, consistent technique to be really. Well, Dr. Westbrook, I think we need to call it there. We said we were going to be a little bit briefer, and we have a long weekend behind the mic coming up. And we've covered the world team, who we're excited about. This weekend, we're excited for the Hook Spartakiad. And I think we've done what we could with the world team.
And that's right. Now, I have one question for our listeners here. Now, this is, you know, I figure we can sort of start some sort of active listening sort of game here.
A participatory experience for
exactly,
our audience.
Exactly, exactly. So we'll add a little bit of a trivia question. And of all the correct answers, I'm sure there will be thousands of them, someone will receive some gift of some kind that, to be determined. Could be Dr. Baffa's voice on your voicemail. It could be the two doctors coming to stay at your apartment for a couple of days. We don't know.
You just
yet.
Don't know. That's the glory of this.
Right. But moving on to the actual question. So in official events, who is the lightest male lifter to ever snatch 100 kilos above their own body weight or more?
Ooh.
So think about that. Do your research, and you can get back to us via Twitter, via Facebook, Squarespace, Triangle Space, MySpace, anything you can think of.
Twitter, Baffa Westbrook, at the two doctors. Facebook, I think we're just the two doctors. We have a website, thetwodoctors.net, with the number two.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, in addition to the trivia question, if you want to let us know what lifter you would want to lift as, let us know as well. I'm curious to see who, you know, if you could have anybody's technique and you'd make the weights and it wouldn't be traumatic, who would it be?
Right, right.
Well, Dr. Westbrook, it has been an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you very shortly in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia.
Absolutely, and that's less than 24 hours away. Dr.
Assuming Baffa. Hurricane Joaquin does not get an hour or CJ's way.
Right. Exactly. I think I put my money on CJ versus Joaquin any day of the week.
Very, very true.
Well, Dr. Baffa, thank you. And to all our listeners out there, thank you also. Keep tuning in. And there's much more to come.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you very shortly at the Hooker Spartakiad and next time.